Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Leader Like You podcast, where we explore ways to thrive amidst life's challenges. I'm your host, Robert Kahn, and today we're diving, literally diving, into a topic that's especially relevant in difficult times, staying open to self and to others. Now, for those who don't know, I live in the Geneva, Switzerland area, and we have a large mountain nearby called the Salève. The Salève, or Mont Salève, or Le Salève, is a mountain belonging to the French Prealps, located just across the border in the French département of Haute-Savoie. And between you and me, I bet the Swiss wished it were in Geneva, though it is not, and it proudly displays a Croix de Savoie flag on the side of the mountain, indicating it does not belong to Switzerland. It's also called the Balcony of Geneva. For those who have not been to Geneva, the Salève is 1,379 meters at its highest point, or 4,524 feet. And it's several kilometers to hike up, and a nice long hike along the top on a trail, which is relatively flat, except for kelp pods and a couple holes, called the Croisette. I'll post some pictures on my website about it. It's massive, and when you get up there, the air is clear, and it's always a few degrees cooler, so you always want to dress warmer when you go. It can be seen from many sides of Geneva. And on the weekends, many people go up to walk and hike. And there's cows up there in the summer. And there's even a special place up at the top with a fenced off takeoff space for parasailers and paragliders. It even has a windsock, making it look ever so official. Now, from below, looking up on a summer's day with the azure skies, one can see many colors above with people parasailing and paragliding in the sky. And several years ago, I was walking on the Salève with my dog, Carlos, and my cousin from the United States. And my cousin, in true wonderful American energetic fashion, found everything wonderful, fantastic, and beautiful. And he's right, it truly is. Now, after hiking for a while, we came upon the fenced-in takeoff area. And then outside the fence was a man sitting there drinking mint tea out of a metal thermos. I knew it was mint because the smell of the mint was pleasantly filling the air around him. He was sitting on what I interpreted to be his gear and material, pleasantly drinking this tea. And not being the shy type, I walked over with my dog and my cousin. I said, "Have you gone down yet?" Because I know people sometimes go down once or twice, and they come up and they go down and they come up and go down in one day if they can. "No," he said, "I'm not quite happy with the wind direction nor the wind speed, and I'm just going to wait it out." And then he said, "You know, I've been doing this for many years, and the one thing I've learned is if you're not comfortable with the conditions, don't go." And I thought that's very interesting already. I said, "Yeah, that's true. Now, I've never done parasailing or paragliding. I might want to." So logically, there is a point when you run down this slight slope and with your strong foot and your strong leg, and you really probably need to know which is your strong leg and your strong foot when you do this, you push forward and you go over the edge. And imagine if you would that at this point, there really is nothing below you except 1,379 meters of fairly ugly rock at the bottom. So I asked the man, "What's the last thing you think of before you go over the edge? Because I've never done this." And he put the tea down slowly and very deliberately. And he looked at me and said, "Well, the first thing I do is pray, reflect, focus, center, ground, and relax." Then he said, "As I go over the edge, and only after I've checked everything for safety, my first thoughts go to my parachute. My second thoughts go to my backup parachute, because," he said, "I've needed them at times, and I've seen other people need them. And then he looked at me and said, working at different levels of accuracy, if you know what I mean. And I knew what he meant, and I didn't want to ask for more details. And then he looked at me and said, you know, parachutes are like human beings, which I thought was very interesting because I wasn't expecting to have a philosophical conversation up there with him. Though he said, you know, a closed parachute is not much use. And I said, yeah, that's true. He said, parachutes are like humans and human brains. They're much better when open, and it's not easy to work with when they're closed and they don't serve much purpose in this industry or in this sport. So today's podcast is much like those paragliders and parasailers and their open parachutes if they need them, is how to stay open and help other people stay open to you. So when faced with adversity, it's sometimes easy to withdraw and close ourselves off from the world. Though, maintaining openness is crucial for preserving our connections to ourselves and others and fostering resilience. So the key question is, how can we stay open to ourselves and to others even when times are tough? First, it really is essential to acknowledge our emotions. And it's natural to feel overwhelmed or drained during challenging periods. Now, by recognizing our emotions and accepting our feelings, we can prevent them from clouding our mind and our actions. And I'd like to refer people to my podcast on Jigger and Rain, which covers the topics. Now, the next thing I encourage you to do to stay open is practice empathy. Take the time to understand what other people might be going through and offer your support and understanding without judgment. That's not so easy. So hold positive intent for them. There's a saying, once you know somebody's story, it's hard to be upset with them. And empathy strengthens the bonds and cultivates a sense of shared humanity. And it fosters deeper connections, even in the toughest of times. Another crucial aspect of staying open is communication. So keep the lines of communication open with your loved ones, your colleagues, your friends, and yourself. Be honest about your struggles and express your needs openly. Now, at times we feel vulnerable when we do this, and sometimes we're scared of vulnerability because we'll look less than perfect. Though vulnerability can be a powerful catalyst for building trust and strengthening your relationships. And it's okay not to be at the top of your game emotionally, physically, mentally, all the time. Nobody expects it. Now, in my Jigger podcast, I talk about gratitude. So if you haven't listened to that, you may want to go back and listen to it. And maintaining this sense of gratitude can help shift our perspective during tough times. So focus on the positive aspects of what's going on around you, on the positive aspects of relationships, and express appreciation for the support you're receiving, and ask for the support you need if you're not getting it. Gratitude cultivates a sense of connection and reminds us of the value of our bonds with other people. Language can also help us stay open to others. For example, I use the word and instead of but, or however, in all languages, because what I found is but and however tends to remind people of past conflicts and puts people in a resistant state, and they have trouble listening to you because the word but has kicked off an amygdala hijack where they're in a fight, flight, freeze emotional state. So I found that using and does not get people into that disconnection. And practice active listening. Engage in this by paraphrasing and summarizing the speaker's points before offering your own perspective. And even after you think they're done, wait 3 to 5 seconds. There might be more important things they want to say. This active listening demonstrates empathy and understanding, and it teaches and encourages other people that expressing their feelings and their ideas to you safely will work without fear of judgment. And if needed, offer input. Now, when offering input, focus on constructive rather than criticism. I tend not to use the word feedback because the word feedback very often conjures up past conversations where people weren't very good at giving it and weren't very good at receiving it. So I like to use the word input because I think input is a bit more neutral. So frame your input in a positive and solution-oriented manner, highlighting areas for improvement and acknowledging strengths. This approach encourages receptiveness and growth in communication. It just will. And when doing this, I tend to have two categories. Tell people what went well and let them know how they can be even more effective next time. I've also learned to eliminate words like should've, could've, would've, because they imply people can change the past. You should have called me yesterday. You would have been better if you did this. You could have at least told me. And we cannot change the past. All we can do is learn from the past. Then we apply it to the future by letting people know even better next time. And stay open with self and other people. Remember to prioritize self-care. Taking care of yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally is essential to stay open to others. And set boundaries. Practice self-compassion and do engage in activities that recharge and rejuvenate you. Because when we prioritize our well-being, we're better equipped to show up fully for others. So in conclusion, staying open to others during the tough times we're living through requires self-awareness, empathy, communication, gratitude, and self-care. And by nurturing these qualities, we can preserve our connections, support one another, and navigate life's challenges with resilience and grace. And instead of being a closed parachute, you'll be an open one. That's all for today's episode. And thank you for tuning into the Leader Like You podcast. And remember to stay open, stay connected, and keep thriving. And until next time, take care and be leader-like.